It is always a pleasure to have the gentleman from Teen Challenge here. And so we welcome you here this morning. Thank you for coming. Now, I know, Matt, you've lost your voice. Is there someone else speaking for you, or are you going to do it this morning? All right. All right. Excellent. Come on up. I'll let you take over from this point. The floor is yours. The video is loaded. And these guys are... This is harrowing for them. Some of them have never spoken public before, let alone been in front of a bunch of carnivorous Christians. So let's pray for them. Father, I just ask that your peace would come for them this morning. Lord, the life that you have put into them, you would release to us today. I just ask for your Holy Spirit to just dwell in them and on them right now and release your peace and your hope and your joy through them. So, and by the way, guys, if this is the microphone you're going to be using. It doesn't work if you do it like this, that well. So you actually have to get it, like I rest it on my chin. It's good. There's a dimple here. Just rest it right there. It works best. Everybody can hear you.
Thanks, Pastor Clint. Good morning, everybody. I always start off, I'm James Beamish. I'm the program director at BC Teen Challenge. I like to start off by just apologizing to the congregation for whose seats we've stolen. Is anybody offended right now? Just one man? Will you accept our forgiveness? Thanks. Pastor Clint comes to Teen Challenge. I've heard him speak at least two, maybe three times in the last year and a half, and I just really value your words. It's real, authentic, and keep coming. Which, thank you. Today, it's funny because as you were talking about the feast put before us, I was thinking today you're in for a Teen Challenge buffet, because one man has a song, one man has a scripture, a couple men have testimonies, and Martin has lost his voice, and he usually does a lot more talking, but we'll see how he does. And anyways, what else do I want to keep on track here? So we've been here before. How many here don't know the Teen Challenge story, the history? Everybody knows it, pretty much? There's a couple. Just here's the one-minute history of Teen Challenge, that my version. And it starts with I was 12 years old in Saskatchewan in a youth group, and I read The Cross and the Switchblade. And in the back of the book, I guess the pastor of the church had glued something in the back that said, "What about you?" And I remember so clearly going, "I'm not ready for this." And I put the book on the shelf and walked away, and God found me again when I was about 20, 21 years old, and reversed the numbers. I just noticed that. But anyways, the thing that really stood out to me in David Wilkerson's story is how it all started was, he was longing for something more, and so he looked at his life and said, what can I give up to get more of God? And so he quit watching TV for an hour a night and went to his den to pray. Was it 2 hours? 2 hours. I need to read the book again. But anyways, that was his deal, is he just gave up some time for himself and gave it to God. And then he sees this Life magazine on his desk and feels like he should go to New York City and work with teens in the gangs eventually. And as a result of that, today we have, the story, how many have read The Cross and the Switchblade? Yeah, so I'm speaking to a choir here. But anyway, great book. If you haven't read it, especially youth, like, read that book. It's really inspiring. But as a result of that, now we have over 1,000 teen challenges all over the world. I think, Martin, you might know some more stats than I do, but in BC we have four centers, three for men and one for women, praying and hoping that God's going to open up for a women's center in the Okanagan right now. And as he provides, that'll happen. The team is already assembling. We're getting applications to be... to work there already, and it's just a prayer so far. And then across Canada, there's about 15 teen challenge centers. So that's kind of the bigger picture. Today, I want to stick to my notes because I go over time lots. Here's a thought. I was reading last night this book called Into Your Hands, Father, it was a Catholic priest was writing it, and he was pointing out that when you look at Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah, and these aren't in chronological order, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Elijah, John the Baptist, Peter, Paul, Yorgos, Clint, Alex. When you look at all those people together, every single one is unique. Like, God uses every single one of them, but you can't really say, well, Peter was like Moses, or Abraham was like Daniel. Like, there's such uniqueness to it. And I think that's the encouraging thing about just the beauty of being in the kingdom of God is God wants to use you to do his purposes. And nobody else can do what God wants you to do. So I just want to hope that you're all encouraged today by what the guys share. I'm going to just read one scripture. Mark, do you want to come up? You can use my Bible if you want. You got one? Okay. So Mark's been in the program for how long?
A month and a bit.
He's kind of from this Vernon area, is that correct?
Yeah.
your dad was a pastor here.
My dad was a pastor in Armstrong.
Yeah. So how many of the guys at Teen Challenge have Vernon connections? Just stand up real quick. If you have something to do with Vernon, if you've lived here, stolen here, you saw them? Do they need to make any amends to you today? Anyways, one of the things that really appreciative of is the opportunity to come into churches, and we're so thankful because, like Clint said, some of these men have never talked in front of churches. A lot of these men never dreamed in their wildest dreams they'd ever be talking about God in a church, and it's neat to see them have opportunity. So thank you for your love and acceptance. This was my passage that I started reflecting on last night and this morning, and that led me to this passage that I've asked Mark just to read, and then after that, I think we'll show the video, and then we'll go from there. So in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17, it says, "Pay attention and listen to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips. So that your trust may be in the Lord, I teach you today, even you. Haven't I written 30 sayings?" And so it might be a little bit of out of context, but kind of dovetails with Colossians where it says, you know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So hopefully this word from Mark will encourage all of us.
Good morning. This is a reading from Isaiah 53. "Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a shoot in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter, and a sheep is silent before the shears. He did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without the sins, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong. He had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal, and he was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life. The Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier, because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. Thank you.
I'm glad I can call Martin up right now. Martin's our church outreach coordinator, so he calls churches all over BC. Martin Martin graduated over a year ago. Went through our second year student program for 6 months, and he's been then went into our internship program. And so you're into your second year now, eh? Yeah. And he's just got a great heart. The very first time, I always share this, cause I started at Teen Challenge about a year and a half ago. And we went out to Sycamose, and Martin was going to give his testimony to this banquet. And you don't mind me sharing this, do you? Martin got up to talk about his program, and all he could do was cry. And everywhere I share that in churches, some little old lady comes up and says, "Martin, keep on crying." And he's a tender man with a great heart. Martin.
Thank you, James. I just, when I think about where I was and what I was doing, pretty sad state. Best day of my life was January the 7th of 2009, when a boss of mine told me that the only person that would help me was God. And I went to a Christian-based Salvation Army treatment center. First time I ever went to treatment after 17 years of smoking crack. And I walked into that chapel, and God was waiting for me. And I was a very hard person. Went through a lot of stuff when I was young, always blaming them for who I was. And really holding them in bondage and being held in bondage. So I'm just grateful, you know, that God has changed me and given me other desires other than self-centered, selfish desires. Helping others is it's so satisfying. God has brought my 12-year-old daughter, who was smoking pot for 3 years in Kamloops. She now lives with me in Kelowna. We have lots of struggles that we go through every day. I know God's got a purpose and a plan, and I just have to persevere through all these trials that are coming. And I'm so excited to walk with the Lord, and You know, I have my failures, and I know God is faithful. And I, you know, he's always there to pick me up and brush me off, carry me on, and to be able to come to work. And I don't even call it work. It's actually work is going home dealing with my daughter. These guys, you know, God, I believe they're all trophies of God's. He brought them out of the mess. Like, there's so many people in addiction that don't get a chance. They die in their addiction. You know, I have a 40-year-old sister dying. I know God has a time. He's not on a time. But her time will come when the scales will be pulled off her eyes. And God will get glory for her life, protecting her now. And I just feel so blessed to be able to talk about God's goodness and come and talk to people and talk to churches and pastors. And, you know, I never thought I'd be where I was, to where God's brought me now. You know, it's I give God all the glory, and like, you could take just 30, like she said, you know, met me where I was at, cleaned me up, taught me how to forgive, and how to love, how to be loved. So I'm, I don't. My throat is very sore. I don't think the enemy wanted me to talk today. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? It's not just here; it's out in the world. You know, I'm looking at getting a job. I'm a heavy equipment operator. And I'm, I don't know if that's what God wants me to do. Maybe this is a sign that maybe I should, like, do something different. But, I'm just grateful and blessed to be able to come to Vernon, Pastor Clint, and to talk with you guys. And I hope to be around for a lot longer with walking with the Lord till I meet him. So thank you for listening. God bless you.
Cam.
And I pray that in Jesus' name.
This is Cam. How long you been in the program, Cam?
4 months. It's been 4 months now.
This is a common saying that the students encourage each other. Some of the new guys that come into the program are like all over the map, and who remembers how all over the map Cam was when he came in? we thought, oh man, this guy is, I don't know, but to see him in the chapel on his knees, just crying out to God for mercy for himself and his family is so precious, and God is faithful, because Cam is being transformed before our eyes by the power of Jesus Christ. And by his yeses to God. Cam.
Thank you. My name is Kevin Kristen. I am a living miracle. I can say that. And actually, seriously, know what I'm saying is true. I was due to a rape. I have had a spiritual battle from the moment I was born. There was God and the devil fighting for me. I'm thankful that Jesus, God, is stronger, because he plucked me out of a life that people could only probably watch on TV. Like, you know, like, there's real world out there, but a lot of people don't realize. And just, my brother said, don't talk about horror stories, and I'm not going to touch base too much on that because my whole life is, for a long time, was a horror story. I lived here in Vernon at a time. It wasn't good. I was down in the park. Let's put it this way, if there's anything horrible you could think of that no one, you'd think nobody would do, I probably did it. Truly a miracle that I'm standing here before you. When I was 5, I got hit by a vehicle, and thanks, bro. I was epileptic. It was the first time God touched me. I was epileptic from about 6 years old till I was 13. And my grandmother would never stop praying for me. And then brought me to church and asked, she said, Jesus came to me in a dream and said for me to take you to the church and ask the congregation to pray over you. And they did so. I wasn't supposed to see 20 because my seizures were so bad I was supposed to either bite my tongue off or swallow it. But after the congregation prayed over me, for 2 weeks I had no seizures. We went to the doctors. I remember 8 physicians looking at my CAT scans. They couldn't figure it out. They said, this is medically impossible. The only thing we can think of, Gary and Irene, is it's a miracle. I remember her jumping out of her chair. She's really my grandmother. And she jumps out of her chair. Praise Jesus, she says. That's right. She goes, that's Jesus. That's the power of Jesus. And I was just a little boy, and I was so rebellious. Yet it was the spiritual battle, because I still went out for like 20 years. Anyways, I got 2 sons, and I kept a woman for 9 years. I don't know how. I really don't. Why she stayed with me for 9 years, I don't know why. I was horrible. But she gave me 2 beautiful sons. And, since I've come to Teen Challenge, he was already working. He brought me to Teen Challenge. He would refuse to let me die. And he was like, okay, that's it. I'll pluck you and I'll put you somewhere. And even on the day of my entry, I lost my mother. My real mother died the day that I walked in. Although I think of the first day that I walked into Teen Challenge, it was life-saving for me, but I lost my mother that same day. I'm still here. I can't walk away because I knew if I walked away, I did that with my grandmother. When she died, I just lost all hope, and I destroyed everything that was in front of me. I thought I was angry before. Whoa, I was angry then. But I knew that if I did the same thing, I would be dead. Literally, I knew it. Or in jail for the rest of my life. So I stayed. These gentlemen, I got $3,000 in my pocket, and I went to my mother's funeral, and these gentlemen were like, we hope we see you again. And I said to them, I said, oh no, you don't know. I'm coming back. I have no choice. Anyways, I'm ever emotional today. on entry, I'll tell you, Jesus is great. I remember him the first time he touched me. It was 6:30 in the morning. I woke up. Actually, it was 6 o'clock. I woke up. I had to go to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom. I laid my head back down on the pillow. It was like the second week of me being in the Teen Challenge. And I laid my head on the pillow, and I'm like, oh, what a horrible dream I had. And I was like, I need to, please, God, let me go to sleep. And all of a sudden, he heard this voice. He goes, get up, go to the cross, and kneel to me and pray to me. And I got up there, and I'll tell you, I hit one knee to the floor, and it was like a waterfall. I can't explain it, but I just cried for about a half hour to an hour and just cried. And I could feel this cleansing. He was washing everything away from me. But it took more than once. It took twice. He had to do that to me twice because, boy, was I full of it. So it was, I had a lot of stuff that he had to wash away. After this, if anybody would care to speak, I want to know a little more. I got lots to share. My testimony, I could talk for hours. So, yeah, I have a piece. This piece came to me. I wanted to share it with you guys. It is 2 Timothy 27. Stay away from the evil things a young person like you typically wants to do. Do your best to live right and to have faith, love, and peace together with the others who trust in the Lord with the pure hearts. Stay away from foolish and stay away from foolish and stupid arguments. You know that these arguments grow into bigger arguments. As a servant of the Lord, you must not argue. You must be kind to everyone. You must be a good teacher, and you must be patient. You must gently teach those who don't agree with you. Maybe God will let them change their hearts so that they can accept the truth. The devil has trapped them and now makes them do what he wants. But maybe they can wake up to see what is happening and free themselves from the devil's trap. Amen. I'll tell you that right there, eh? I have one more. It's Romans 15, chapter 13. It says, I pray that the God who gives hope will fill you with much joy and peace as you trust in him. Then you will have more and more hope, and it will flow out of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that for all of you guys and for me, myself also. I love this that we get to share. I want to thank you very much for allowing us to come here and share. I love all you guys, man. Thank you very much for letting me speak.
During worship, there was a lady sitting behind me, and she tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, excuse me, sir, you have a spider on your head. And I'm like, immediately I thought of last week, whose plate did I grab that spider and put it on? None. Oh, he's gone. I grabbed a spider by the silk and just kind of lowered it onto the guy beside me's plate. But anyways, the lady said, would you like me to remove it? And I'm like, yeah, that would be really nice. And so she took it off. And then, of course, immediately I feel like I've got like a million spiders all over my head. But anyways, she then said, I just loved, you know, we teach the guys about developing healthy boundaries and, you know, Jesus' boundary that he stands at the door and knocks. And if you hear his voice and open the door, then he'll come in. And so I just wanted just to value that woman. I don't know who she is or what her name was, but the better ending of the story is she taps me again and she says, it actually wasn't a spider, it was a wood tick. So I'm just glad I don't have a wood tick like living in me for the next months. But I think, you know, a greater principle is, you know, as the body of Christ, we need each other to pull the ticks off. And we can't do that alone. We need each other. And these guys need your prayers and your support and encouragement. And you need them to touch your hearts with God's heart. So I just hope that's happening. I'm going to call Yorgos up. Yorgos is going to play a song. Is that the cue? I did the right thing. Yorgos is just coming up to 10 months in the program, And he's come to us from Salmon Arm, but his dad used to own a restaurant in town here years and years ago. And he was telling me that on the way out here. So I'll let Yorgos speak for a few minutes, and then he's going to play a song. Thank you.
Hi. Thanks. Thanks for having us. I know we always enjoy coming to these places and sharing with you the name of Jesus. All these guys here are potential video makers, and myself included. I mean, we've been through the ringer. The devil does a really good job at reminding us of the stuff we've done wrong in our lives. And as James was mentioning about my father, I mean, some of you have heard of him. That's not important, but my family was notorious in gang life around here. And I knew a boy who grew up watching his dad beat his mom, experienced cultural shame, personal shame, social shame. At some point, he didn't really understand what God was about. He had no idea who Jesus was. He immersed himself into alcohol and drugs for many years to try to figure out, you know, why he just didn't fit in. And that boy was me. I got fed up with watching what was happening with my family, and life went on. Suicide attempt on year 2000. I didn't know what hurt more. I didn't know what hurt more, the fact that these so-called friends of mine were either walking away or dying, or I realized they were never really my friends. And my friends were, in that sense, the congregation of the dead. And I have not experienced true friendship until I've met these men here. And if you're having a problem, by the end of talking to each one of these guys, if you still got a problem, then you have a problem. I just want to touch on the program a bit for you. I know we all know someone in addiction. I think it's safe to say. I've been through many programs. I've had to leave programs. One I had to leave because my sister was murdered in Kelowna. So I didn't finish. The second best day in my life, I met my wife. I got to back up to this. Second best day. And we prayed about Teen Challenge and James Beamish. I think I was on the phone with James and Jason Legg and these guys trying to make a decision to come. It took me 6 months and getting all my eggs in a basket to finally walk through the doors there. And it was the best thing I ever did. And it's a tough program. The difference between Teen Challenge from what I see compared to a lot of other places is that it's Christ-centered. Although God does work outside Teen Challenge, as we know, but for myself, I knew a week into this program that I didn't have a drug problem, I had a lack of God problem. And we bear each other's burdens every day. Galatians 6:2, bear each other's burdens. Bear your own, but bear each other's burdens. You'll get through it. We all have similar stories. We don't talk about them that much. We know them all too well. And another part is the family aspect of Teen Challenge. I went in there scared. I have five children. My wife is the real warrior, and she's doing awesome. We have our tough days. I have my tough days. They have their tough days. They have their tough days with us. But God has really shown himself. He comes and meets us individually in our time of need. It's amazing to see the fruit. And I have fervent prayer, and the Lord has blessed me. Too many to go into. But God is good. Jesus is good. And God bless you guys. Just a quick thing here. We were at another church doing this, and I was frustrated. I was outside kicking rocks, mad. And it was nighttime. It was in Rutland, United Church, Rick. Yeah. And I was just walking around the building, just trying to, I was having a hard time meeting God, and there's this little light on in an office, and this time I legally looked in, and I'm looking in, and this wonderful poem was upside down, and I'm trying to read it, and I'm like, man, I got to have that. That's wonderful. It's a poem from Martin Luther. Anyone remind me? It's so beautiful. I had to put it to song, so I hope you enjoy it. I sing it every day, and I was actually blessed this morning when I found out I could pick a song to sing to you guys, so this is it.
When I feel despair, but now my ailing heart forget, you hear my every prayer. Remind me. To go on.
many minutes do we have left, Clint? 2? 5? 3, 5? Okay. Alex was hoping and praying and squirming in his seat that I would run out of time. But he's just taken on a role as of the first phase supervisor when staff are in meetings. And so every one of these guys is a leader, and we trick them all because we make them think they're coming in to get over their drug problem. But really, our secret motive is to light them on fire and send them out to burn for God and change the world. That's that.
Nerve-wracking, of course.
Of course. I'll just close with a couple of comments. Our program is funded primarily through our work detail program, through churches, through student sponsorships. And student sponsorships are kind of like a World Vision Child, where you can get for $40 a month, you're sent a picture of who you're sponsoring. And then that student usually is in the later stages of the program. They'll write letters to you, and you can write letters to them and encourage them and stuff like that. So that's one way of getting involved with Teen Challenge. Above all else, you know, just when these guys' stories come to your mind, pray for them. Yorgos needs more miracles in his life, and so does Cam. But there's a whole mass of them that need more miracles than those guys need. And so we need lots of miracles at Teen Challenge. So we value your prayers, just lifting us up when we come to your mind. And we have a vehicle donation program where we will come and pick up old cars, and we give you a tax receipt when we sell them to somebody who buys it to fix it up, or if they're just scrappers, we'll take them to the scrap pile, get like $200 or $300 for them, something like that, and you would get a tax receipt for that as well. Martin does a lot of that, driving and picking up. Our firewood, we sell firewood and deliver firewood. I think we've got like the most unique firewood sales in the world because guys are down there working out stuff, throwing those logs into the chopper and stuff. And is it $60 for a pickup truck, and a cord is how much, Martin? $120, yeah. Yeah. So it's a great place if you're on your way through and you just need some firewood for camping. Really good deal on little rolls of firewood. And we have a wood miser sawmill that we're training guys on, so we actually go in the woods and chop up lumber and cut it to 2x4s and beams and planks and stuff like that. So we're hoping that's going to pay for a lot of our program. And all the guys go out and volunteer in the community with contractors and landscapers. And so they're actually getting to kind of, sometimes people say Teen Challenge is a bubble, but these guys are exposed to temptations and are being strengthened in every aspect of the program. Even going to a doctor's appointment and walking past an ashtray and not desiring to pull a smoke out of there or something, right? So anyways, that's kind of the way we fund our program. And, of course, doing church outreaches and offerings, we really appreciate that. And I just wanted to just put a quick plug in for our golf tournament on May 28th, Monday. Does anybody participate from here? Yes? So that's a thing where you actually get people to sponsor you you raise up, I think, $250, and then you can come and participate in our tournament. And it's a fundraiser. We do that all across Canada, golf tournament fundraiser. So Pastor Clint, we can send you some information on that if you want. Or just go to our website, and it's all there. But just an invitation. We'd love to have somebody from Vernon kick our butts on the golf course. So. So I just want to say thank you for your hospitality and opportunity for us to come and share. Clint.
No, it's awesome to have you fellas come here, and it is life-giving, believe me. just to be able to hear what God is doing, what he has done, where you've come from. It's life-giving stuff. It's inspiring, too. We all know someone out there that can use prayer. You know, they don't have to wait until the last minute to all of life's disasters happen and end up breaking completely down. God can intervene before then, too. There is hope. There's always hope. And, I mean, you heard Cam speak. He has a praying grandma. That always, you know, more times often not when you hear someone's testimony, there has been someone praying that God has intervened. So pray, 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 pray. Talking to Cam earlier, it was your aunt that lived across the street?
Yes.
Used to live across the street in the house opposite our office. And I'm just going to throw it out there, Cam. Need to pray because we don't know where she is. She got dementia. Something's happened. Cam's lost contact. He wants to have contact with her. So if somebody knows something, you can go talk to him about that or do some praying and let God reveal it. It's all good. We're going to do enter into just at some time of worship, just to be able to worship God from what you've heard. We're going to put the tithe and offering basket up. And remember, the smaller basket that will be on the stairs will be for Teen Challenge if you want to be giving into that. I think because of time this morning, we'll just forego communion and we'll catch up with it next week. But not to disappoint anybody in that, let's just pray. It just seems like this morning there was a banquet. Don't want to lose that. So, Father, we thank you for where you have led us this morning, what you have exposed our hearts to. And, Lord, I just ask that whatever it is that you are trying to speak this morning with the little ones in the Sunday school room, it was learning to become fishers and for you, fishermen for you. And Lord, what we've heard of in here this morning is the rescue package, the wholeness and wellness package, the redemption thing that you do for those that you love, that you bring back, Lord, that you call, that you wash, that you clean, that you renew, that you restore, that you rebuild. And Father, we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you are the one that gives back hope when it's been stolen. You are the one that delivers peace when it's needed. That you are the one that inspires us to pray when we don't even know how to pray. That you are the one that is the one that lives in the mysteries and reveals them and draws people in, Lord, in the situations when the devil thinks that he's won. You are the one that leads them back. We thank you that you are the gentleman, stands at the door and knocks. And if we choose to open up that door, you will reveal yourself to us. And this morning, Father, I just pray that each one of us has been able to open up that door to be able to receive from you. That we would take something from today that is going to enable us to be inspired to pray for others, to speak for others, to not ever give up, but to lean on you. Lord, to love those who aren't worthy in their own eyes of being loved. Lord, to never give up on relationships, that there is no such thing as a discarded human being. Because you say you loved us so much that you gave us your only son. You loved us so much that you gave us your only son who never did anything wrong to have to suffer for the things that we have. You loved us so much. And so, Father, I pray you would inspire us to be able to go on with what we've heard today and share it with others. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.